has a special meaning. We're going to go into that a little bit today. And it's very important, especially in this generation at this time. Open your Bibles, if you would, to St. John chapter 12. Remember, this is the chapter where in verse 31, Christ said, "That boy, that wasn't thunder you heard, that was God's voice from heaven." And he's saying it's time to cast out the prince of this world, which means Satan, right down to good old earth. So we're talking about a period and things that are very important to the very end times. We're going to pick it up with our subject in verse 37, chapter 12, St. John. It reads, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." You know, he raised people from the dead. He fed thousands. He performed miracles that anyone with common sense would believe. Why couldn't they see? Because their hearts were hardened. That's the reason. Verse 38. "That the saying of Esaias," that's to say Isaiah, "the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Well, naturally, it's God's elect. Verse 39. "Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah say again," verse 40, "he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." Now, it's important that you know what this word "harden" means in the manuscripts. It's paro, and it means from paros to petrify. And God always uses natural things whereby you can better understand. How does something become petrified? And this act of petrification, it's important that you understand it. How does it happen? It is the replacing of normal cells of organic matter with silica or some other mineral and turning the object to stone. Okay. Now, well, what does that mean to us today? Well, if you've looked around in the world and picked up a bunch of junk, and you let it leach into your mind and system, it gradually hardens your heart or turns it to stone, petrifies it. And it's impossible for you to see the truth then. It's just, it isn't that God blinds them, they blind themselves through petrification of the heart. That's simply to say, that's God's analogy of how this comes to pass, and you need to understand that, or otherwise you can't understand. They'll try to pass this off as God doing it. No, people do it to themselves. Again, I want to say petrification comes because you take, well, let's take a bone, for example. An animal dies, he's near a silica pit or a lime pit, and the natural matter and cells depart, and water and rain leaches in mineral. That's rock. And that turns into rock. It hardens. And certainly after that, it's impossible to deal with. This is what God is referring to here. Beware of the ways of the world. Make sure that what you know what is normal. Don't let some perversion come into your life. And don't let someone teach perversion and allow it to come into your life. And, you know, actually, we almost have it on a national scale today of laws being passed to permit the very acts themselves and would seem to be a part of our nation. It's not. That'll harden your heart. It turns you away where it doesn't matter how many miracles Christ and how real he is, you'd never see it. That's why when you talk to some people, you want to share a truth with them. It bounces right off of them. Why? They're in the world. They're petrifying their hearts, hardening them, where there's no way they can see the truth. Let this be a lesson to you to always be viable and pliable, a piece of clay that's still moist, not hard, that God can work with, that he can shape you, that he can lead you. So this is what Isaiah was talking about, and it's come to pass. And especially, it's no wonder back in verse 31, he would say this happens during the time that the prince of this world is cast out of heaven down to earth, de facto. Why? Because that's the way it is. You don't have to look very far to see it. Okay, so we pick it up then with verse 39. Therefore, they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted and I should heal them. That's just the way it is. Their heart's petrified. Don't let it happen to you. These things, said Isaiah, when he saw his glory and spake to him, and nevertheless among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They'd be excommunicated. Would you let something, your belief, be persuaded just because it wasn't popular? Would you call yourself a Christian and be ashamed of it? I would hope not. You would already be well on the way to having your heart hardened if you're ashamed of being a Christian that has eternal life, that has the blessings of Almighty God. What a time to live. What a time to serve the living Father. Verse 43, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Don't ever let that happen to you. It doesn't matter what men say, it's what God says that counts. And you know why? Because men don't give out blessings. God gives out blessings. And it's according to whether you want your life blessed or not. It's that simple. Verse 44, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. In other words, he and the Father one. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because he was Emmanuel, God with us. I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. There's no way you could have your heart hardened, because you see the light, the truth. You see those miracles that Christ performed. And you know that his spirit today touches. It leads, it directs, it guides, it upholds. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. That was the first advent. But the second is coming. That's a different story. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the very word itself, and the word is God, the same shall judge him in the last day. That great white throne judgment's going to come to pass. And if you have your heart hardened, if you've allowed the ways of the world to leach into your life, where you know you're losing control, where perversion's all right. No, it isn't. Well, why isn't it? Because God says no. End of story. Verse 49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I should say, what I should say, and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Otherwise, it's death, friend. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak. He said, I'm going to give you the truth. And he performed all those miracles for a reason, so that anyone that wasn't hardened could see them and know we've got the Messiah with us. And to follow him being a Christian is a wonderful thing. Why? Because you have eternal life. Otherwise, you're nothing. You're that object that minerals leached into, and you turned to stone. No one could tell you anything, because it's happened to you, the ways of the world. And you don't pay any attention, in that case, to the Word of God. That's what saves. That's why, well, was this a new thing? No, Isaiah said it many years before. As a matter of fact, we're going to go there. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. Old Testament. There's nothing old or new about our Father or His Word. It all applies very aptly even to this day. Chapter 6, this is the very presence of God there with Isaiah. Chapter 6 of Isaiah, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. This was an absolute visitation of God. Above it stood the seraphims, each one having had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And naturally, we've been through this, the horses of God's word, and before, three. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And it is if you allow it. You harden your heart and you dim the light and you don't see the light and you're in darkness. Verse 4. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Verse 5. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. In other words, I live in a world where it's sinful. And they're allowing the ways of the world to leach into their very heart and begin to harden it. And they know no better. And he said, this makes me not worthy. What happens then? 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. The very same altar that Satan originally was elected as protecting cherub to protect and was cast out. Here comes that truth. That God is a consuming fire. 7, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity, all your sin, is taken away, and thy sin purged. It's erased. That's what believing upon him will do for you. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Who shall I send? And who will go with for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. After being touched and purged, he was ready to serve. Verse 9, and he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Well, why in the world couldn't they? Because they were soaking up, or the sins of the world and the ways of the world were leaching into their life, making this okay. Everything's okay. Everything is not okay. Well, how do I know the difference? By the word. Verse 10, make the heart of this people fat. That means make it hard. Let it be hard. Let it be worthless. and make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. In other words, to who? To the false Christ, to false teaching, to think they're healed. Well, yes, I'm saved. I'm saved by the Antichrist. Oh, the Antichrist doesn't save people. I don't know if anyone ever told you that or not. He may deceive a lot of people. So if you don't have your eyes open, you can't see true salvation. Verse 11, then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Meaning, when it gets so bad out there, you don't see one Christian standing up and shouting out. Because if you're not in God's word, he considers you dead ears, dead eyes, and there's no way he could reach you. And unfortunately, our world is about to turn to that. You've got to look a long way to find people that really know the truth, that understand the Word of God, that are God's election, that remnant that he promised that would always be, that do not have their hearts hardened because they have not absorbed the ways of the world, but are independent of it and see the God and follow him. Verse 12, and the Lord hath removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. In other words, when the false one is cast out, what is the forsaking? They're going to forsake the truth for a lie. If they want to believe it, God will allow it. Verse 13, but yet in it shall be a tenth, this is of the land, and it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree, or as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. That verse loses quite a bit in the translation. What it's saying is, and you here in Northwest Arkansas can be very familiar with it, you can take an old oak tree and you can eat it, you can cut it down, it can lose its leaves. But what happens next spring? Shoots start coming up, okay? You can't kill it. What he's saying is, my remnant will always pop forth. My remnant will always be there. They can try to destroy it. They can try to eat it. They can rip the leaves off of it. But the root is coming back because God has chosen his remnant. And they are the ones he sends. They are the ones that their heart is never hardened. They're not petrified. They're pliable with love and understanding and following the living God. God chooses, he knows his remnant. Now, go back to Psalms 81 here, while we're in the Old Testament. Psalms 81, pick it up with verse 9. Verse 9 of Psalms 81, it reads, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. God won't stand for it. You need to really settle that down and not let anything leach into your mind aside that. I'm reading from Psalms 81, verse 9. Don't worship the false Christ. Don't worship any false teaching. Well, how do I know the difference? This word. It's simple enough. A child usually can understand this if they're not saturated with ways of the world. Verse 10, I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. If you love him and you trust him, you can count on it. He will lead you and direct you. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. I mean, most of them just turned their back, snuffed at the wind. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust. That's hardened heart, because it was filled with the ways of the world, lustful. the very natural cells of the organic matter had given way to silica and other minerals to harden their very heart with lust of the world. And they walked in their own counsels. They wouldn't listen to God's counsel. They had their own. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. If they just would have listened to the word, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. And he will do that. He'll do that for you today if you're part of that remnant. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever, if they would have. Otherwise, they're going to die. Okay. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. God never lets his people down, but you get your heart full of the lust of the world and pay attention to it rather than the living God. Friend, you're in one heap of hurt because you're going to lose him. And quite frankly, your heart, with the leeching of the ways of the world, takes over until you can't tell truth from fiction. You don't know who to believe and not to believe. But there's a real easy way to always tell. Well, what do you mean? The Word. Remember when we read back in John 12? Christ said, the Word. The Word will judge you. So if the Word is going to judge you, then you'd better pay attention to the Word, not what this man or any other man might say. You stick to the Word of God and live forever. That's the reward that he gives us. Now, let's go to the New Testament, and let's take one of the chapters where we're right at the end, Luke chapter 21. The Antichrist has come, and has reigned, or this is the prophecy concerning that. And let's see what it says about your heart being hardened. Luke 21, verse 29. Verse 29 reads, this is after that God's elect are delivered up. They don't premeditate what they'll say, but they allow the Holy Spirit to speak through them why they are God's elect. Verse 29 reads, and he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. Look at them. When they now shoot forth, you see that and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. In other words, you know that in the year 1948, when the fig, the good and the bad, were set out in Jerusalem, that it was nigh. We're in the end time since 1948, and it's playing out one prophecy after another. Boom, 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 boom. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. It's always with us, but he's about to take over. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. In other words, from the generation of 1948 will not pass away until every prophecy is fulfilled concerning this dispensation of time. I didn't say all time, this dispensation of time. 33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Beloved, don't ever forget that verse. Many things change, but God's word will never change. It was the same in the first earth age. Back in Isaiah's time, it was the same. It's the same in Luke's time. And it will be the same forever. God doesn't change. Otherwise, you could become very confused, but you don't have to be because he's always straight and level. He leads, he guides, he directs. You want to pay attention to what? His word. 34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, with absorbing things of the world, false teaching, lust, leading away, and drunkenness, and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. You know, it's a strange thing to me. This chapter declares that they're going to be crying, peace, peace. That's the way it is when Antichrist comes. World peace. And yet in the world today, how is it pictured in your so-called end time flicks? It's destruction, destroying, and upset. That's not the way it's going to be, and that's going to deceive a lot of people. It's not going to deceive you, because you know when he comes, there's world peace. Why? Because they think he's Messiah. All wars will be stopped. And how easy it is to be confused at that time unless you're familiar with his word. Don't let your heart, your mind, be taken in by the ways of the world. You stick to this word, and this word will always, and I do mean always, see you through. Verse 35, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth, if you're not prepared for it. A snare is a trap. You will be trapped into it unless you know the word of God. 36, watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Not stand before the false Christ. Not stand before the ways of the world to be condemned, but to stand proudly before the Prince of Peace, the true one, and to be of service to him, having been led in understanding his very word itself. You know, you want to take care of your heart. That your mind is what it truly translates. That what you allow to go into it, because you can let it become shadowed with doubts. When you've got the word takes away doubt and brings in the truth. It stops immediately the filtration of silica or lime or any other mineral way of the life, I'm saying, going back to the analogy, that would try to turn you. You can't be turned because you're on the word, you're in the word, you live the word. You believe the word, and that makes you a child of the living God. Is it possible our Father had more to say about this in the Old Testament? Oh, much, much more. But I want to go to one more place in conclusion in the Old Testament. We've tried Isaiah. Let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 11. Verse 17. Again, our Father speaks, and he speaks to you. This is Old Testament, but there's nothing, God's word doesn't change. It's the same today as always. It applies to you. 17, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. This is the ultimate. This is the end. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. All the things that would harden your heart, they're going to be gone at that time. Verse 19, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them and heart of flesh. I'm going to open their eyes where they can peep and see a little bit. You see, you already have that heart that is natural, that hadn't been infiltrated, that is not hardened, but pliable to the Word of God, to listen to it, to understand it, to live it, to be blessed by it. Verse 20, that they may walk in my statutes, that's his word, and keep my ordinances and do them. Don't just talk about it. Do them. Be a doer of it. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. One more verse in conclusion. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things, those petrified ones, and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. So he speaks of his judgment. How precious it is that we have every opportunity to have his blessings in our lives, to be a blessing to others, that you have that lips touched with that truth and that word, that you can share and that you can be a blessing to others. What a gift from God, the truth. What a gift from God, the word, whereby you're not in a mixed up world that hardens hearts, but a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your hearts and minds on the Word of God. Do not let man deceive you, because we're approaching times where it's very possible. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your word. And thank you, Father, for giving us hearts of understanding that cannot be solidified or sold into the world, but truly followers of thine own word and thyself. We ask that you let each of these be a blessing to all they come in contact with. In Yeshua Jesus' precious name, amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible is an invaluable tool to the serious Bible student. The Strong's Concordance lists every word used in the Bible and every passage where the word utilized may be found in the Scriptures. With the assistance of a reference numbering system, the English reader may easily translate any word back to the original Hebrew, Chaldean, or Greek in which God's word was written. The Companion Bible is a unique study Bible. In addition to the text of the King James Version Bible, an extra wide margin contains a wealth of information not found in other Bibles. A system of structures or outlines employed by the Companion Bible will allow the readers to rightly divide the Bible. The use of these structures help the reader follow the subject matter, and therefore they are critical to an understanding of God's Word. The 198 appendixes found in the Bible cover a wide variety of topics and information which will enlighten your studies. The Companion Bible and Strongest Concordance are a must for the serious Bible student.
Let the Spirit move. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. It's a pleasure to hear from you. Got a prayer request? You don't need a number and you don't need an address. Why? Our Father's real. He hears you. You don't even have to say it out loud and he still hears you. He created every tick of your body. Everything that is in your body, he's aware of. He knows what you're thinking. He knows your condition. He is your Father. Your very soul belongs to him. Whether you give it to him or not, it's his. Ezekiel 18:4 documents it. 18th chapter, the 4th verse. All souls belong to God. He is our Father. Now let him know that you love him. That's the main thing he wants from you. He does not want your burnt offerings. He wants you to love him. That's no biggie. And after all that he has done for us, how could you not love him? Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, in question time, PT of Alabama, Pastor Murray, can we talk to, thank you for your comment there. You have learned me more than any preacher I have ever heard. I know we will know our loved ones in heaven. Can we talk to one another there? I ask God to give you good help. Well, he sure does, and I thank you for that. Of course, we'll be able to talk to each other. You know, you can read. There are several accounts of it. In Luke chapter 16, when it shows all of paradise, both the good and the bad side, they were talking back and forth. And as it is written, and I've already repeated it once in this lecture today, Ezekiel 44, verses 20 through 24, a blood relative, mother, brother, father, sister, unmarried, and so forth, you can talk to them, even try to steer them right if you're one of God's elect. If they don't make it, even, you can communicate with them. And God loves us, and it's a great advantage to serve God in eternal life. Nancy from Virginia, was there 2,000 years between the six-day creation and when Adam and Eve were created and placed in the garden? It is true that we have an account of God's days, and many people consider that. You can read 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with God is as 1,000 years with man. It's called the Lord's Day, 1,000 years. And many people believe that the seven-day creation was a period of 7,000 years, and then on the eighth day, Eph-ha-Adam, a different man, was created, a husbandman. And there, that would account for what you're saying. The thing that makes this kind of understandable more so, locking science with God's word, is that the Katabol, the great freeze in Alaska and the tundra, and in Russia in the tundra, the mammoth that were destroyed there in an instant freeze, all carbon date about 13 to 14,000 years ago. So if it took 7,000 years for seven-day creation, Lord's time, then we've added six to that is 13,000. So then you're, that should be considered, okay? Should you make a religion out of it? No. Andy from Connecticut. The Bible states that all souls were created at the same time. Is it right to assume that includes the souls of the six-day creation in Adam and Eve? Absolutely. All souls were with God in the first earth age. This is documented, you know, wisdom, as she speaks in Proverbs chapter 8. Why is she called a female and put in the feminine sense, wisdom? Well, maybe God intended it that way. Who knows? I leave that for you to question. But she says that God created all the souls basically at one time. And remember this, on a spiritual body, which we're going to read of in this same chapter before we finish, time means nothing. You can take a spiritual body that is 100,000 years old And it's not any older than the day that God created it as far as aging is concerned, as we know aging in the flesh. Time means nothing to a spiritual body. Another place you can document that is Job chapter 40, concerning the sons of God, okay? How they were in that first earth age when they were created. Keith from Texas. Navy Secretary, thank you for serving your country. My question is, where in the Bible is it written to teach chapter by chapter and verse by verse? God bless and thanks. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 and 10 will tell you to study chapter by chapter and verse by verse, precept on precept. But then the next verse, he lets you know, I'm going to send Babylon, and they're going to talk in a language you're not even going to understand. And quite frankly, that applies to today even. Babel is confusion. And Babylon of the end times brings such confusing talk to the world that very few people even understand what's going on. So, but you are to study line on line. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 and 10 will give that to you. Charlene from Louisiana. Will God be mad at me if I can't pronounce some of the words and names? I am disabled and I can't get out of the house because I don't have a car. Will God be mad at me? Could you please answer me on TV? Well, I'm going to do it. He doesn't really mind whether you can pronounce them correctly or not. Most of us can't, okay? But we make a stab at it and have a try at it. And sometimes when you speak in names in a different language, it's a different dialect, and it is very difficult. So don't feel bad, but God's not going to be angry at you for that. He knows your condition, and God is a forgiving God, and he's a God of love. He loves you. You keep studying, whether you can pronounce them correctly or not. You keep plowing. You're doing good. Sonia from Georgia. You have a great quote. Well, thank you. I'm in the process of learning the word. I am to learn all I can about the events in the Bible. Most of all, learn more of Jesus and getting closer to him. I'm a recovering addict, and I know I couldn't do it without him. He strengthens me every day to fight against temptations, weaknesses, and cravings. I've been an addict for 23 years, but I've been clean for 16 days. I know it's a short time, but I'm to an addict, it seems like a lifetime struggling and suffering to fight, to carry it, to keep the enemy, but I'm resisting to follow the devil's cause. I'm tired of being a slave like, and I have in the past. So thank you for your program. You are so welcome, and you keep up the good fight. You know, an addiction, because this is a very good time for you to have written, because you have two bodies. You have a spiritual body and you have a flesh body. You have allowed your flesh body and its central nervous system to be addicted to certain drugs or whatever the case may be. And what the way you handled that is you let the spiritual body take over and tell your flesh body to sit down, take a break, and get well. You take charge. You get tougher than a junkyard dog on your flesh body in controlling it by your spiritual body, which looks up and wants eternal life. And God wants to use you in these end times especially. Satan would love to have you. We're not giving him that privilege. I want you to make a note of Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 18 and 19. Christ gives you power over all of your enemies, even including Satan, in Christ's name. And don't ever forget to use Christ's name to execute that power. You take charge. I want to hear from you again. I want in 30 days, 60 days, when you feel led, I want a good, clean report, okay? Discipline. For old Marines, that's pretty easy, okay? Because we were trained and we understand discipline, and you need to get to it. Do it. Pam from Tennessee, would you be so kind as to address the issue in Romans 13, 1 through 7? I read it and I know what it says. This is where it says there is no government in power except God hath ordained it, okay? It doesn't tell us to obey a government that we think is good. It says to obey government authorities, period. But as I understand the scripture, we are to stand against the Antichrist and his system, but the line is quickly becoming blurred as the government, New World Order, or Antichrist. Hard to tell who's who anymore. Well, no, hang on a minute. You know, the purpose of obeying the government is to spread the word of God. And we are blessed in this nation because when we obey the law, and this is what Christ is talking about, when you obey the law, the government is forced to give you license. I mean, television license, broadcasting license, to transmit to the world. If we were to not obey the law, God's word could not go. But in obeying all the civil laws concerning the ability to get God's word out, that's what he's talking about, not to destroy this or to destroy the other, but to be wiser than the serpent and take advantage of his own tools and beat him to death with it. Okay? You do it by obeying with wisdom. You must be wiser than the serpent. And that will always cause you to, for a government to be forced to license you in obeying law to take forth the word of God around the world. What a blessing, okay? And what a reward for obeying laws. So it's no step for a stepper. Ed from California, I am reading How to Enjoy the Bible by Bullinger, and I'm learning how to rightly divide the truth of God's word. Question on page 95, Bullinger says that this current dispensation will end by the church being caught up in the air to be with the Lord, and calls this glorious rapture will close this fourth dispensation. This threw me a bit as I did not believe in the rapture doctrine. What is Bullinger referring to here? You know, I know what. Bullinger passed away in 1915. He did not see all the things that we have seen in prophecy. Therefore, I consider Pastor, why would you handle a book that teaches rapture when you don't believe in it? Because I am good enough a teacher that I have taught people to know better. Instantly, no, there's something wrong there. But you have to give credit for a man that was born back in the 1800s, was such a scholar. And you don't want to throw the baby out with the washwater, okay? You want to maintain. But I consider myself to be good enough a teacher with God's gift and aid that you know it's wrong. And you can forgive him for having been mistaken on that one account because of all the good he does in outlining the scripture, okay? Pastor Regina from Baltimore, how do you pronounce this word, J-R or Dem, and what does it mean? I know it has something to do with J-R. It means the forest of the weavers, okay? I'll just let it go, forest of the weavers. That's what the word means. And it looks like Regina again. Is Satan guilty of changing God's word when he changed the end of the verse he tried to tempt Christ with? Matthew chapter 4, yes. He's a scripture lawyer. Satan knows the scripture better than most Christians. But it's real simple to, when he misquotes, to go back to the scripture, because he's quoting scripture, and you can see where he twists it about 45 to 90 degrees there at the end that makes it a lie. And he will still do that to this day. His little children will still do works on newer translations of the Bible if you're not sharp. One, for example, that a child can understand and spot that a Kenite has been at work, that is in the NIV Bible. In Ezekiel chapter 13, following verse 18, where it speaks of, in the King James manuscript, says, I am against those that teach my children to fly to save their souls. He's talking about souls, that's the subject, and the fact that people, little busybodies, sow things that cover his outreach saving arms, every knuckle on his hands, and substitute rapture doctrine. So you can tell who did it by comparing a standard King James with the new translation. And you've got Satan at work. I know that a lot of people enjoy the NIV. Well, enjoy it. But you better be sharp enough to catch where changes have been made, because they have been. Catherine from Tennessee. My daughter asked me, 16 years old, Mom, if I don't like teaching, I'm kind of shy about it, will there be other jobs for me, us, who will overcome in the millennium? You know, I'm a pessimistic in the band. I'm rather a percussionist in the band. And first choir, will God let me play for Jesus? Of course he will. That's your gift, you tell her. I told her I'm not sure, but I would love to know. Well, you tell her she can be sure. God gives gifts, and it's for a purpose. And he has a purpose in it, and many people have a destiny. It would seem pretty obvious what hers is, would you say? But let God lead. Let the Holy Spirit lead. As far as being delivered up to the Antichrist, don't anyone worry about what you're going to say. You're not the one that's going to be doing the talking. The Holy Spirit's going to be speaking through you. And you're not to even premeditate what you'll say. So it's no step for a stepper, but it's precious to have a gift. And you tell her to hang on to that gift. It's God-given. Be happy with it. Norma from Texas. My question is, does it bother God when someone buys something with the knowledge that they will not be able to fully pay for it? If I'm 78 years old. You're not responsible for debts left after, on death. Don't worry, it's figured in where it would take care of itself. But then, you know, you have to use your own judgment. I never give advice on when to buy, rent, whatever. Okay, everybody must make their own mind up. Excuse me, Joel from Idaho. I have a question about the first Earth Age. Since the mammoth and the dinosaurs are extinct, did that mean that they were alive at the same time? And if so, how come there's no evidence of dinosaurs like T-Rex ever preying on a mammoth? Well, there is. I can think of one case down in Texas where a poor mammoth was down. It's obvious. You can see the shape and the size, and the T-Rex has tore him apart. So there's plenty of evidence of that. I'm not sure where you're getting that from. That's what the T-Rex, this is, the mammoth, of course, was a grazer. See the enamel on the teeth here to grind grass, legumes. But T-Rex was a meat eater, and he had teeth that tore and ripped the mammoth and the dinosaur that would eat from the high tree if they were hoss enough, but But they tore things up with these teeth. They sure did. I don't know where you're getting your information. Rick from Oregon, sin of death, 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Please explain. It's the unpardonable death. What God is telling you, if one of God's elect refuses to stand against the false Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through him, don't pray for them. But that's the unpardonable sin, meaning it wouldn't do any good to pray for them. They've already blew it. Do I think that will happen? No. I know God's elect, if anything, they talk too much, okay? They will not be guilty of holding back. They're ready to go, okay? They're destined. I'm Deucey from Massachusetts. When Satan arrives and we must worship the beast, will this apply to retirement funds as well? God always takes care of his own, okay? And there will be a change of all monies. But you still got, like I told you the other day, I took this watch off and said, that'll trade for a loaf of bread or more, okay? And so there's always ways to get by, and God will lead us and help us through. No step for a stepper, okay? That's not an oversimplification. We're wiser than the serpent. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy God's word. Most of all, God loves you for it, studying the letter that he sent to you to tell you how to serve him and overcome the devil. It just makes his day. And when you make his day, boy, is he going to make yours. You can count on it. That's the way our Father is. He loves you. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? Bless God. He will always bless you. You can count on it. That's his promise. He always keeps his promises. You keep yours. Now, most important, though, hey, listen to me, listen good. You stay in his word every day. In his word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Jesus is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
The book of Mark. Mark, one of the apostles, Mark having been a very young lad at the time Christ walked this earth, was always in the shadows, observing and listening with the intensity that young ears can, picking up every word. And this great gospel moves very fast. But what a interesting and certainly impressive gospel it is for Mark, from those that young mind, reiterates to you in chapter 13 how some are going to be delivered up, exactly what they are supposed to do. And even in that 13th chapter, giving you the seven events that fulfill this or make up the seven seals and the seven trumpets, and telling you how you are to react to them. A fast-moving gospel, one that I know you'll enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
All right, good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to this Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this Family Bible Study Hour. We're going to do a few more single studies, we call them. We're going to do a little study today on watchmen. I receive many questions. What am I supposed to do? I wish I could find out what God wanted me to do. Well, do you know what he told you to do? Watch. Well, what am I supposed to watch? Through his word, he gives you signs and seasons and events that you should be aware of, things that you should be watching for. And if you were a student of his